بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اسید اشعار عارف بالله عزت اقدس حضرت مولانا شاہ کی محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ. The title is مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے. مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے, مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے. غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے, غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے, بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے. سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے, سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے. مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے, غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. غم میں بس ان کو پکارا چاہیے, غم میں بس ان کو پکارا چاہیے. ان کے ہوتے کیا سہارا چاہیے, ان کے ہوتے کیا سہارا چاہیے. لذت فریاد طوفانوں میں ہے, لذت فریاد طوفانوں میں ہے. کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے, کون کہتا ہے کنارا چاہیے. حاصل ساحل مجھے طوفان میں ہے, حاصل ساحل مجھے طوفان میں ہے. تیرے جلووں کا نظارہ چاہیے, اپنی آہوں سے درے جانا پہ میر, اپنی آہوں سے درے جانا پہ میر. اپنی بگڑی کو سوارا چاہیے, مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے. غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. آپ پر ہر دم فدا ہو میری جان, آپ پر ہر دم فدا ہو میری جان. غیر کی مجھ کو نہ پرواہ چاہیے, دست بکشا جانب زنبیل ماں,
دست بکشا جانی بیسم بیل ما میرے سر کو تیرا سودا چاہیے میرے سر کو تیرا سودا چاہیے اخ کرے خستا و دور فتا دکو اخ کرے خستا و دور فتا دکو ان کی رحمت کا بلاوا چاہیے مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفا ما بعد This beautiful bayan of our honorable illustrious Dada Shaykh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabrizi Zamana مجدد زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکی محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ حضرت is teaching us how to pass through our life and what is everybody is looking for support what support we need in life so حضرت is teaching us that support is only one the giver of life Allah Rabbul Izzat we have to beg Allah Ta'ala to be our support then a person will pass through life with ease and comfort حضرت says مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے Oh Allah, I'm begging you for a support of my life. And what is that? What support we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے that, Oh Allah, I'm begging you for support of life. And what is that support? That in my heart, the pain of your love must enter. When Allah Ta'ala's love enters the heart, then a person has got full support. And then no matter what conditions a person goes through, a person knows that my Allah is with me. Allah is fully aware of all my conditions. And jo Allah kare, so khair kare. Whatever Allah does for me, whatever Allah Ta'ala, and this is a very, very high stage Hazrat is teaching us, which is even higher than ikhlas, which is raza bil qaza. That to be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that a person has to come into the company of the friends of Allah and learn this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We saw a beautifully Hazrat has translated as gham, the pain of the love of Allah. This is such a pain that will take away all your other pains. This will give you that relief that you can't imagine. And Hazrat explains further that this is that great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One drop of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that behre ulfat ka kinara chahiye, sar hamara dar tumhara chahiye. That oh Allah, this ocean of your love, that I want that ocean, that shore of the ocean of your love, which in fact the love of Allah ta'ala is unlimited. So there's no real ocean. So there's no, you'll be at ease without an ocean. And how is that? That I surrender totally to you, oh Allah, sir. Hamara dar tumhara chahe. That my head, that is totally I surrender at your threshold. That whatever I need, the first thing I think of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then Allah Ta'ala makes the means easy for a person. So this is the getting the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important is that a person realizes his object of life. That who has given me this life? When a person realizes in the morning, Oh Allah, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. Oh Allah, all praise to me, to you. You have given me another life. Now our mashayikh teach us that we should think, what is the purpose of my life? Why am I going to be living today again? So the purpose is maqsad-e-tu, that Oh Allah, my object and purpose is only you. And what is the object and purpose of Allah? Wa radaitu. That we start learning to do those actions that Allah is pleased. And in the way that Allah is pleased according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that we need marifat wa muhabbat khud beda.
That, O Allah, you grant us your muharram, your marifat, your recognition, which will in turn, a person realizes the greatness of Allah, and the mercy of Allah, the kindness of Allah, so the love of Allah Ta'ala penetrates the heart. And that we can't get without the company of the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then Hazrat teaches us that now whatever condition comes upon a person, gham mein bas unko pukara chahe, unke hote kya sahara chahe. Any grief, any worry that comes to me, I only cry out to Allah Rabbul Izzat. I don't complain to anybody else. Otherwise we complain to anybody or we seeking help from anybody else. Allah Ta'ala says, look at this banda. He is complaining to me about to somebody else who can't help him in the least. But the only who can solve his problem is me. And whatever Allah has brought upon us, kulla yusibana illa ma kataballahu lana. Any difficulty that for us it seems difficulty, but in reality it's a great blessing from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to bring us on the right track. Oh, Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive our sins, raise our status. So Hazrat says, when you got this connection with Allah Ta'ala, what other support do you want? فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Allah is the best of guardians. Allah is the best of helpers. Who else should we be turning to? And when a person realizes this, then whatever condition comes to you, then you start begging from Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat says, when you start begging from Allah, لَذَّتِ فَرْيَادْ تُفَانُوا مِهِمْ. Kone kehta hai kinara chahe. The enjoyment of crying to Allah Ta'ala, the enjoyment of bowing in front of Allah, making sajda, getting up for tahajjud, and crying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a person will now get this enjoyment when he's so to say in storm, that it seems like nothing is going right in my life, but we just turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And continuously what istighfar, what tawbah, and remain begging at the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, our great great grandfather, one mistake and 40 years begging in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Myself, we just make one, two du'as and we think, no, my du'as are not getting accepted. We have to be begging in the court of Allah. Then Hazrat says, then who tells you that in the ocean of the love you need a shore? No, when there's storms, then there is enjoyment in making more du'a to Allah Ta'ala. We got it the other way wrong. Other way, we got it wrong. The other way we got it, that when everything is going smooth in my life, then I will be punctual with my namaz. Then I will be coming for majlis. That is not the system of Allah. You turn to Allah, Allah will remove all these obstacles, all these difficulties. And Hazrat says, then you'll see for yourself, حَاصِلِ سَاحِلْ مُجھے تُوفَانُوْ مِهِ تیرے جَلْوَوْ کا نَظَارَ چَاہِيَ. That, oh Allah, I have found now the shore is when there is storms in my life and I turn to you. Now I found that I am, although I look like I am going through turmoil, but I am in the shore of the sea. That means I am in peaceful condition. Whatever my condition is, Allah Ta'ala knows it best. And Allah is the only one that will remove. And how Allah will remove? Oh Allah, I want that special focus of you upon me. That, oh Allah, I was lost and I turned away from you. Now Allah, please forgive me and turn your focus towards me. And when Allah Ta'ala's focus comes towards a person, apne aahon se dare jana pe meer, apne bigri ko suwara chahe. Hazrat says that, oh Mirza, and addressing us all, that how can you sort out all that life of yours that you have destroyed, that you have brought so much of mess in your life. You messed up your life, now just you are what support you need, just cry to Allah Rabbul Izzat. When you cry to Allah Rabbul Izzat with earnestness, with begging, with tawbah, istighfar and tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will now correct all our past life. And Allah Ta'ala won't just correct, Allah will forgive our past and Allah Ta'ala will change it into good. Allahu Akbar. After then my person realizes that the only thing in my life to go smoothly, aapar hardam fidaho meri ja, ghair ki mujhko na parwa chahe. Oh Allah, I beg you now that let me every moment just give my life to you. I should be loyal to you, in other words, be obedient to the commands of Allah, according to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then why should I be worried about anybody else? People can be passing remarks and say whatever they want. You don't know what is happening in the world. You are backward. Let them say, why should I be worried about anybody else? I should be worried, is Allah happy with me or not? That is my main concern. And so beautifully Hazrat has put it, in the dasba kusha janibe zambile ma, mere sar ku tera soda chahe. Said, O Allah, so to say, I have stretched out my begging bowl towards you. And what do I want in that begging bowl? O Allah, you make me yours and you become mine. O Allah, you buy this useless soul of mine. I am not deserving of being in your court and be deserving above to be your close and special one. But you are that great being who buys the useless things and you give the best price. So Allah, please, I'm begging you, accept me also. And tell what all that Hazrat teaches us. The more you get closer to Allah, the more you build your connection to Allah, you'll realize I'm still far away from Allah. And the only thing that I can get from Allah Rabbul Izzat, which will make my life in this world and the year after, Akhtare khasta wa dur uftada ku, unki rahmat ka bulawa chahiye. Said, oh Allah, myself, I'm so useless. I'm not worth anything. I'm far from you, O Allah. But all my ibadat, etc., it's not worth being accepted. O Allah, all I'm desiring, that your call of your mercy, you just pull me by your mercy. And out of your sheer mercy, O Allah, you forgive me and make me yours. For this we have to make this effort and come here and learn this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah Allah ta'ala's rahmat will engulf us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, those qualities which Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi says, if we, the Muslim ummah, will bring back, then inshallah the Muslims will rise in the world, they will get tarakki and progress. Because we have left these qualities, that is why these halat and conditions are coming upon us. This chapter is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was neither obscene, not one to curse, or nor vulgar. If he had to reprimand, he would say, what is it for such and such person? May his forehead be soiled. There is no real discomfort in this, especially if it is soiled by going into sajda. In such a case, it is actually a dua for the person to become a regular performer of salah. Outwardly it seems like a curse, may Allah Ta'ala make his forehead be soiled, but actually it's a dua. Furthermore, salah has the quality of preventing a person from evil. So this is actually a dua for the person's reformation. At the hadith that Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more bashful than a virgin girl in a private chamber. If he observed anything which he disapproved of, he would not express it verbally due to his shame, his haya. Rather, we would see the effect of his disapproval on his face. Hazrat Aswad radiallahu anhu narrated, asked Aisha radiallahu anha, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do when he was in the house? She replied, he used to assist his housefolk in the domestic chores. Examples of this are found in the next hadith. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mend his own shoes and stitch his own garments. He used to carry out domestic tasks like just like any ordinary person from amongst you carries out these tasks in his house. She adds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human like everyone else. That is, he neither lived like a lord in his house, nor did he assume a distinguished position for himself. He used to remove lice from his clothing, as it writes, which came from someone else, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure from this, and he would milk his clothing, milk his goats. These are examples of carrying out domestic chores, which are normally left to the woman to do. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yakhdumu nafsahu, he used to also carry out his personal task, make khidmat of himself. Another hadith is Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not strike anyone or anything himself, neither any woman nor any servant. Yes, waging jihad in Allah's cause is another matter. Striking anyone in this context refers to striking them out of anger. He would never hit anyone out of anger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never extracted revenge from anyone who caused him harm. However, if anyone committed any of the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would certainly exact revenge for Allah's sake. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, I was 8 years old when I came into the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remained in his service for the next 10 years. He He never reprimanded me if I caused any damage with my hands. If any of the household reprimanded me, he would say, let him be. Had something else been decreed, it would have taken place. So if something had broken, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't shout him. See, if it was something else, was muqaddar, was a decree, it would have taken place. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit the sick, and he would attend janazas and funerals. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shook hands with anyone, then he would never withdraw his hand until the other person withdrew his hand. He would not turn his face away until the other person did. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never seen sitting with his thighs ahead of the one sitting next to him. Instead, he would sit in line with the rest of the people. Another meaning could be that he was never seen stretching his legs towards anyone who was seated near him. Shamail al-Tirmidhi has got two narrations regarding two lengthy hadith. A few sentences from here will be quoted. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu narrates from his father Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to his house, he used to divide his time into three parts. One time was for Allah's worship, the second was for his family, for the fulfillment of their rights, and the third part for himself. He would subdivide the third part between himself and his close sahaba, who would then convey the blessings of what they learned to the general public. In other words, this part was dedicated to his special and close sahaba. They were permitted to come to him, benefit from him, and convey what they learned to the general public. When doing this, it was his practice to give preference to people of excellence, that is, people of knowledge and excellence and practice, over others. He used to divide his time by allotting to each one according to his religious virtue. This is because a person may have one need, another may have two needs, another person may have several needs. Thus he would occupy himself with them accordingly. He would also occupy these people in doing things which would be of benefit to them and to the ummah. For example, by asking rulings and informing him of prevailing conditions. They would come as seekers to him. In addition to academic benefits, they used to eat something, and then they would leave as guides to deen. This was the nature of his special assembly. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a khas majlis for some close sahaba radiallahu anhum, teach them things, and the intention was that they must go out and convey the message to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives.